Thanks, Ian. So as you can see, we've got the roadmap up for our presentation. We'll start with 365D3, which is you might think of it as the first or a tool in the toolbox for a debtor in Chapter 11. Certainly, we're all familiar. 365D3 provides a 60-day grace period based upon cause if the court will agree that cause exists. And really, sort of pre-COVID, I think a lot of us thought that this was extraordinary relief or something that at least was granted a little more rarely. Pre-COVID, courts would deny the 60-day grace period based upon the debtor's assets. If the court thought the debtor had little to no assets and in the end wouldn't be able to perform, if the debtor didn't have good enough reasons, there are definitely numerous cases you can find that say just being busy and being really busy trying to transition in Chapter 11 isn't sufficient. A debtor arguing, well, I've got to pay all these other payments that are coming due now just so that I can make it through a Chapter 11 and I need a break on the rent. That didn't work. Also see it come up in pre-COVID cases, in cases in which the debtor is attacking the lease is not a true lease. But frequently the court's refrain to that was funds could be escrowed while the lease issue is worked out. There is one court out of the Delaware Bankruptcy Court in 2007, there's an opinion that said simply negotiating a settlement or trying to settle with your landlord can constitute cause. And I don't, a little spoiler alert, that'll come up later when I talk about JCPenney, which argued that as a basis for its request for an extension under 365D3. And so ticking through our slides, post-COVID, a little bit different world when bankruptcy courts have been faced with these 365D3 motions. It's my view on it seems to be that the ones that hit mid-March, right when the shutdown began, received really warm reception from bankruptcy courts on maybe less evidentiary support than you might see later on as the pandemic has continued. Pre-COVID, the Delaware Bankruptcy Court in the Craftworks case granted that motion. It also set forth a docketing control mechanism that prevented anybody from filing motions for relief from stay or motions to enforce rights under 365D3, so that essentially none of that could happen, even if those parties wanted to try to push the matter forward. Meddels is also one of the earlier Chapter 11 cases where a bankruptcy court was confronted with a motion under 365D3. It also suspended the cases. That's probably the most extreme relief that I've seen in the cases post-COVID, really ruling that there was no path forward under the pandemic as it existed then. And that court ruled that only essential budgeted expenses had to be paid, and rent was not considered to be one of them. So as we continue, we've seen additional cases filed post-March, post the initial part of the pandemic. Want to focus on one that our firm has been a local counsel in, which is the JCPenney case. I think it's a really good example of a D3 motion and all of the objections that could be faced and really a judge fashioning relief to try to get all of the parties where they need to be. JCPenney filed its bankruptcy case at Chapter 11 mid-May. It probably, Ian, would have been one of those on the retail apocalypse list before. It was well known that the issues that it had and its various attempts to restructure, remarket itself, try to be relevant in a changing retail landscape. And then all of that, and along came COVID. As I said, it filed mid-May, but when the pandemic hit in March, mid-March, it made the decision to close all of its 800-plus stores in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. So by the time it had filed almost 2 months later, it had really been at a standstill in terms of operations, because of those closures. A huge real estate footprint. Like I said, 800-plus stores, the majority of those 600-plus are lease real estate. So JCPenney does own some of its real estate, but definitely real estate leases were going to be, had been already a major issue for the debtor, and were going to be an issue in the bankruptcy case. JCPenney filed its 365-3D-3 motion about 2 weeks after the petition date, prior to the petition date, but certainly not maybe as much prior to the petition date as we've seen in other cases. JCPenney had reached out to landlords to try to engage in informal settlement discussions, try to get lease abatements in place before it went into bankruptcy. But certainly by the time it filed, still had a lot of work to do on that front, which, as the papers reflected, was one of the major reasons that JCPenney said that it needed the D3 relief. It needed the 60-day runway of rent abatement, essentially, of relief from having to perform those monetary obligations so that it could continue to engage in those negotiations and discussions with landlords in what it thought was going to be the most appropriate way.